Today's share in the Dear Shu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Samav Ches Omud Beis. In the third volume of Mishnah Berurah, Simen Shin Chav Ches, we're towards the end of Hilchos Refuah on Shabbos. And we begin with Sif Mem Dalet. The Mechaber writes, Rochatzin B'mei Gerora, a person is allowed to bathe in a certain location in Eretz Yisrael called the waters of Gerora, Ubimei Chamton, another place called Chamton, in the waters of this place, Ubimei Tveria, in the hot springs of Tveria, on Shabbos, Ubimayim Hayofim Shebiyam Hagodol, and a person is likewise allowed to go and bathe in the Mediterranean Sea, the Yam Hagodol, in the good waters over there, Afa Pishay Meluchim, even though it's salt water, because Shekein Derech Lirchotz Behem, because one normally, a healthy person goes and bathes in those places, and therefore, v'leika hochacha d'lerufuah ka'ovit, and it's clear that you're not doing it purely for medicinal purposes. However, as opposed to avolo b'mayim haroyim shebayam hagadol, but one is not allowed to go into the lousy waters, the filthy waters of the Mediterranean, or b'mei mishra. This is flax water, a soaked flax, which is very, very foul smelling and very repugnant for a person to bathe in, unless he's doing it for medicinal purposes. As the Mechaber himself says, shem usim, these are disgusting. The ein derech lirchotz, but nobody would normally go and bathe in them unless el lirfua, if you needed to do so for medicinal purposes. Now, the Mechaber concludes this, and he says, v'davka sheshoe behem, it's only if you tarry in them. However, avolam eino shoe behem, even in these filthy waters, if you just go in and you go out, then you would be allowed to go into such waters on Shabbos. Because in this situation, when you're just going there for a short period of time, sheino nira ela kimekar, it only looks like you're going in to cool off over there. And therefore, it is permitted to do so on Shabbos. It's not a problem of medicinal bathing. Now, I should point out that Dershu footnote number 119 reminds us that nowadays, ein noagin lirchotz b'nahar u'b'mikvah. Nowadays, we do not go and bathe on Shabbos at all in a river and a mikvah for benefits of pure pleasure, for hanoah purposes. You can go to a mikvah for tahara purposes. And therefore, nowadays, anybody that would be doing this would be rochetz lirafua, it would be clear, and the Tila L'David brings down, shekivan shemuta l'odom litbol atayraso, gami ish noagin litbol mishum kedusha. And therefore, for a mikvah, since people go in to be truly tovel themselves for tahara purposes, like a woman going at night on Friday night, so therefore a man can go on Shabbos, even though there's no halachic requirement to do so, for elevating his spirituality, and therefore it wouldn't be nikar hadavar that that's for refuah. At the end of this footnote, he also mentions that if a person has to bathe, for example, he has very severe hemorrhoids and he has to put his behind into hot water, so if Nissen Karlit says that would be permissible as well, because it's not clear that you're doing so for refuah purposes alone. However, he says, Ruchitzas kol haguf b'ambatra, but to take a bath entirely, and if you're doing this, for example, to lower the temperature on a person, again, who's not a cholish, even she'ein bo sakona, ein derech abrim lasuskin, that's not a normal thing to do, and therefore, that would look like you're doing it for mefuah purposes, and that would not be allowed, unless, of course, you're a cholish she'ein bo sakona, but for a mechosh b'yalma, it would not be allowed. And similarly, Dirshu footnote number 120 brings down from the Ktzos HaShulchan, She'ein derech lirchotz b'makomos elu el refuah. Nowadays, nobody goes to any of these places that are disgusting and bathes in them, even to cool off, unless they're doing it for refuah purposes, so therefore it would not be allowed as well. Now, this mechaber was a very big mechaber that we did. There were a lot of Mishnah Berurahs that we now have to do. So we'll start with Sif Katan Kuf Lamed Zayin. And he tells us, Pirish, what does the mechaber mean over here that you're washing yourself in these various springs? Av shekavanas ol refuah. Technically, the din is that even though you're doing it for medicinal purposes, but since kivan shirochetzim bo briim, since healthy people do go there all the time, then it would be permissible, mutter, to do this on Shabbos. However, ach bisman she'ein derech lirchotz b'chamei Tveria ol refuah. But if people only go to the hot springs of Tveria for medicinal reasons, then also b'Shabbos, I'm sure, then you would not be allowed to go in there and tarry in there for any significant period of time if you do this on Shabbos. This is brought down in the Mogen of Rome in the Shagas Hayyeh. Sif Katan Kuf Lamed Ches says that even though these are salt waters, is not a problem. Pirush, what does he mean? Umoalim ibn Ezek, it's as the rapos, that the salt water will have some benefit for you, so one might have thought you can't do this, the din is you're allowed to. However, he says, Vida, dafilu yesh lo chatotim birosho, gamkin muta, and therefore, even if a person has scabs on his head or some sort of wound on his head, and the salt water somehow would be beneficial for that, so the haskama of the poskim is that you would still be allowed to go in there, even though everybody might say, well, he has wounds on his head, scabs on his head, that's why he's going in there. Nevertheless, since healthy people go in there, you'd be allowed to do this. As opposed to this may mishra, these very foul-smelling waters, the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sif Katan Kuf Lamites, Shishorim Shampishim, you soak flax in them, Vuhadim B'yamishal Stom, where this would be in very, very salty water like the Dead Sea, the Yam HaMelach. Those are very, very foul-smelling waters or very, very difficult to go for a healthy person in those waters. So therefore, that would not be allowed if you're going to stay there for a long period of time. Sipkart and Kuf Mem, the Mishbur explains Shem Ma'usin, that they're disgusting. Isav Rambam, he quotes the Rambam who says, In Rochatzim B'mayim Shemishalshalim, you're not allowed to go bathe in water that will cause you to basically have diarrhea. It's sort of like a laxative, this water, which means they somehow cool off the body and will cause you to have diarrhea. Now, there are many bodies of water that a person can go into. If he ingests the water, they're foul water, and you could get diarrhea from just bathing in the water, but that's because of the ingestion, the drinking, and imbibement of some of that foul water. So I'm not exactly sure what the Rambam is talking about over here, that just by going there to cool off your body, it causes diarrhea. But in any event, you're not allowed to do that if you're going to tarry there for a long period of time. And likewise, in a muddy water, people don't go in there normally to bathe who are healthy. They only go in there for medicinal purposes. And therefore, the rabbis did allow this if you're not going to stay there for a long period of time, because these are painful, and therefore a person shouldn't be doing them on Shabbos. And therefore, you can't do this for medicinal purposes on Shabbos. I kind of shown it. Those are the words of the Rambam. The Chen Kosev Asmag, the Sefer Mitzvahs Gedolos, has the same idea. And he says, Vim Kain also Lishtos Mashka Mishalshal, and therefore he brings down, one would not be allowed to take a laxiv, any sort of a liquid that causes you to have diarrhea on Shabbos, because the Ein Lechot Tzar Golem is that, because there is no greater pain than this, he brings down from the Mogen Avram, in terms of having diarrhea. Yeshu footnote number 121 brings down from Nissen Karolitz Shlita, Sha'at Be'erev Shabbos, even on Erev Shabbos, you shouldn't take this laxative that will make you have to go to the bathroom on Shabbos, because that will cause you distress on Shabbos. However, he says, if somebody has difficulties, Yeshlo Tzar B'Shabbos Im Lo Yishteh, if you don't take this laxative type of a drink, then you'll be in even more pain on Shabbos because of constipation, so then you would be allowed to do so on Erev Shabbos for sure. Shari Bofen Zeh, Lo Shayach Hatam, Shol Bitul Onik Shabbos, because this person is not being Mavatil Onik Shabbos by taking this laxative. In fact, he will have Onik Shabbos because he won't be very obstipated, very constipated with pain on Shabbos. In regards to Shtias Tea, Miyuchot HaMenakas Mayayim, you have these herbal teas that, so to say, clean you out. Umoil Atziros Uchadome, and it helps for constipation. So even though it doesn't cause you any pain, you're not so constipated that it causes you pain, nevertheless, Ravazan Zatzal, the Shevet Alevi, brings down, Shekivin Shein Lo Tzar Mishtias HaTea, the tea itself doesn't give you any sort of real pain. And Luma Zos Mitztarhu Miminias Yitzias Miyayim, and he will have pain if he gets constipated, so then one is permitted to drink these teas on Shabbos as well, for the purposes of their laxative nature. The Mishnah Berurah continues and writes, V'hainu, Afilum Eino Mechavin L'Rufua, El Bnei Ezetam, and therefore, in these foul-smelling bodies of water, even if your purpose is not for medicinal purposes, you have some other reason, because certainly if you're going there for medicinal purposes, it will be aser. Unless the person has more than a mechush b'alma, if he's reached the stage of a cholish en bo sakana, then you are allowed to bathe, as we've already explained, l'chanal in Sif Lamed Zayin. Sivkot and Kuf Mem Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah says that the problem over here in these foul-smelling bodies of water is only if you delay there, if you tarry there. Because in that situation, the Mishnah Berurah explains, the Mulcha Milsa, the Lufuah Kovit, it's clear that you're doing it for medicinal purposes. Shari Amayim Achurim Usruchim, these are dirty, muddied waters, foul-smelling waters, they know Omitram Bishvil Hanoi, and nobody's going there for pleasure purposes, and that's why if you tarry there, you're not allowed to go and do that. But if you're just going for a very short period of time, you're just dipping and leaving, so then the Mishnah Berurah explains, it's Kuf and Siv Cotton Kuf Mem Bays, the Alpha Pishe Mahurim, even though they're muddy, dirty waters, people would say, Aminim Lo Motsa Mayim Yofim. He didn't find a nice place to bathe. He's very, very hot, so he has to get the schmutz off him, the sweat off him, so he goes in there, even though it's foul swelling water. Ul Olam Lahakir Kovit, the person is doing this not for medicinal purposes, but for cooling off purposes. And Afilu Yeshlo Chatotim Mirosho Nami Mutra. And as we pour it down, even if you have wounds on your head, it would still be permissible. The issue footnote number 122 brings down in regards to beverages that aren't drunk because of thirst purposes, but they're drunk in order to cool off your body. For example, people would have old wine that was mixed with clear water with also some Shemen Afarsimon. So this type of a concoction, the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Chaf Aleph told us is also to drink. Why? Kivin Shesiyasu Domel Refua, because that's almost like a medicine. And the Bir Halach over there explains, Shekivin Shemakir Zeh Eino Asui Ela Letzanin Es Gufa Oda Michom Beis HaMerachot. Since they would drink this very commonly after they came out of the hot bathhouses, it's not considered a Meichel of Briyim, and therefore it's clear that it's for medicinal purposes, and if you're only a Meichosh B'yama, you would not be allowed to take it. Now we go to Sif Memhei. The Mechaber writes, Lo chashim al nechoshim v'yakravim b'shul shelo yaziku. A person is allowed to say various incantations for snakes and scorpions in order that they should not go and hurt you. And you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. That's not considered medicinal. The ein b'kach mishum tzida. And likewise, there's no concern over here of trapping these animals by stopping them in their tracks, so to say, and not harming you. The Mishnah Berurah explains as if cut in kuf mem gimel. Apa gav da ayidei halachash eni ochalozus mimakomo. So even though by saying this incantation, exactly how that works, we don't understand, but you say this incantation, the snake is stopped in its tracks, the scorpion can't move, and you could easily trap it, you could easily grab it. Nevertheless, this is considered permissible. The ein zet sida tivis. That's not a normal way of trapping, and only normal ways of trapping are forbidden. The Dirsha footnote of 123 brings out from the Kilis Yaakov the reason for this, that is, shekol maisa naisa bederach, she'eno tivis, nechshav k'maisa l'achayat. Anything that's done through incantations, not through a normal, natural, scientific methodology, is by definition considered k'lachayat, and therefore the rabbis were not gozer in this situation where there's some danger. However, on the other hand, Chaim Kanievsky Shlita brings down, Shetzivui HaToruhu Lanuach B'Shabbos L'Lasos V'Locha. The Torah tells us we're supposed to rest on Shabbos and not to work, and Mutu L'Lach Sho Shazuei M'Locha. And the reason why you're allowed to do this L'Lachash over here is because it's not considered M'Locha. What's the Isser over here? And Das of Rav Nissen Karolit Shlita is Midaraisa in Lesser Tzedo Shein Tivis. You would be allowed to trap over here on a Daraisa level if it's not in a normal way. However, the rabbis asserted this over here via L'Lachash. However, B'minias Hezek, in order to prevent Hezek, the rabbis would not go there such a incantation that you can't say it. Then he brings down an additional chiddush from Rav Ozan Zatzal and the Shevet HaLevi, she'etzem halachishim muteres b'shabbos. There technically is no isser over here in saying these incantations. And the only problem you might have thought would be daber dovri, not allowed to say these things on Shabbos because it's inappropriate for Shabbos. He says that's not an isser over here as well. The Mishnah Berurah continues. The Afal gav the paskin of Mishnah Shinte Zayin Siv Zayin dafilu lotzud lehedja mutter kidei shlo yishchenu. Wait a second. Why are we having this discussion about incantations over here? We said you'd be allowed to even trap these animals in order to prevent damage. So obviously, Tzorach Lomar, you have to say over here, d'hocha mayri d'lek elech hashosh v'choke. Here it's only a very, very distant chance that the snake or the scorpion will hurt you. Kigon deino rodif achor. It's not running after you. Klal. Uchadome. Or something similar to this he brings down from the El Yerabba and the Olu Shabbos. And he says as well, these halachas have been discussed previously. And Dirsha footnote number 124 reminds us over there that there was discussion that the Mishnah Berurah added. We don't have a concern that you'll do something medicinal for something that is done through a lachash. We don't say, well, just like this caused a healing, so too you may come to then be grinding various medications. The rabbis didn't make such a thing. It has to be for a scientific, a real medicinal type of herb or something, a medication, a mashka or ochal, a food or a beverage of some sort, as opposed to an incantation. Sif Memvav, the Mechaber writes, Mosnin Kli Agabi Ayin Lahokir, a person's allowed to go put a cold compress, a cold utensil on the eye in order to cool it off. Obviously, it has to be a kli that's not muksa. You're allowed to go and do this with a kli that's not muksa. You can move the kli, and there's no medicinal isser over here that the rabbis would go there. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkut and Kuf Mem Dalet Pirush, what the Mechaber is telling us over here. Misha Choshbeinu, somebody has a swollen eye, or his eyes are bothering him. Nosin kli matros, you're allowed to take a metal implement that's called alo ayin kedei lekarer in order to decrease the swelling, to lower the swelling. The issue footnote number 125 says, Losuch shemen agavi nificho shemacha, but to anoint oil on this, to put oil on this, we already said that looks like refuah, and that would be aser. So this is different. Now, what about putting an ice pack to put ice on a makah? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman Zatzal says, Shekivin shein derech laso zos aidei samamonim, since nobody can alternate, instead of using an ice pack, go take a medication that will do the same thing. So therefore, the rabbis would not go over here because of shrichas samamonim, and you'd be allowed to put an ice pack on a wound, a swollen area on Shabbos. And this is also the opinion over here of the Shmira Shabbos Gehuchasa, shemuta lirchotz o lahashos eso ever b'mayim. You'd be allowed to as well rinse it or insert that limb that's swollen into water. Lefishein amayim rabbi tzimakas. It doesn't really heal, it just will decrease the swelling, hopefully. And Karol Shlita adds over here, Shemutu laniach kerach hamaku, you can put ice on a wound. Kim Shenzo refuah. It doesn't really heal the wound, it just stops the swelling. There's a difference between healing the wound and stopping the swelling, and therefore, all of these posts will agree that you could put ice, an ice pack, or something cold that's not muktza on an injury. When you take something out of your freezer, however, for example, if you take frozen meat out of your freezer, that's not edible, so therefore that's muktza. As opposed to if you take frozen ice cream out of your freezer and put it on the wound to use it as an agent to decrease the swelling, since the ice cream is supposed to be cold, it's not mukta, you'd be allowed to handle something like that. The Mishnah Berurah continues and he writes, V'hu adin shemekifim b'tabas. You'd likewise be allowed to go and put some sort of a metal ring, or bechli, or some other utensil on the eye, as a ayin, kidei shelo yishpashet hanefach, in order to decrease the swelling, that it shouldn't go and get worse. This brought down from Rashi, explaining the Gemara. And finally, the Mishnah quotes to Chayodim, the Kosev Chayodim, v'u adin, likewise the halacha is, the muter lidchok besakin, chabura, kidei shelo yishpashet. You could likewise put a cold metal knife on the wound in order that it shouldn't swell further. Sif Mem Zayin, the Mechaber writes, etzem, if you have a bone, shiotza mi makomo, that got dislocated. You have a dislocated elbow, a dislocated shoulder. Machzirin also, one would be allowed to go and pop it back into its place on Shabbos. The Mishmur explains as if cut and kuf mem hei. The Mogen Avram disagrees. Hamogen Avram cholek al zeh. The Mogen Avram disagrees with the psak over here, the Mechaber, that you're allowed to reduce a dislocation. Usfir lei, the Mogen Avram holds, the davka etzem hanishbar mutal achziro. A broken bone you can set and put it into place. Kedisa Gwar Zumor explains. However, avola etzem hanishmat mimakoma, but if it's just a dislocation, also lachziro, unless it's a life-threatening or limb-threatening type of an injury, you would not be allowed to return it to its place on Shabbos. Da'afilu l'shavshev harbe bitzon in osur. Okay, even to go massage it a lot in cold water is osur, as we've already learned, kedisa b'sif lamed. The koshek in chazor, and certainly to reduce this dislocation, to return it back to its place, to pop the bone back into its place, that would not be allowed. Furthermore, the Mishnah says, ve'etiku kam achronim. There are various achronim that write over here. The same thing. Even though you have the Mogen Avraham, these other achronim say that a Jewish person can't do this, a non-Jewish doctor or expert would be allowed to go and reduce the dislocation. He then brings down from the Sefer Shulchan Atzei Shittim, who's cholik al Mogen Avraham, who disagrees with the Mogen Avraham, and he writes because of the kol shiyotzim in komul legamrei. If there's a true dislocation over here that he says is called shekorin oish gelenkt, which is a sprain, a neka. Choshev sakonas aver, there is a potential risk to this limb over here. Kemoshin nishbar, as if it was broken, unless imlo yachziren miyat, unless you return the dislocation back right away. Some sort of dislocations can put a great strain on the ligaments and could in fact decrease your ability to use that limb. And therefore, the Shulchan Atzei Shittim says you can absolutely return a dislocation, just like the Mechaber said that you could. V'shari lahachzer afi al de Yisrael, and he paskins that you would be allowed to do this even via a Jewish person. And in the Shaar HaTzion, Os Kofei, he brings down the Chayodim agrees with this, also just like the Shulchan Atzei Shittim. And the Shulchan Atzei Shittim concludes, and he says, Uche b'sif yudzayin, like the halacha allows in sif yudzayin for a Jewish person to do malachos in appropriate situations on Shabbos. And that's the conclusion. Ad kan l'shono. Those are the words of the Atzei Shittim. Dirshu footnote number 129 brings down, im eno chosh ko'ev chazak, if it's not very painful, v'rotzerach lach boshes o'ev v'kadesh yishor b'matzav shel menucha, if you want to put some sort of a sling or some sort of a bandage on it that it shouldn't move, so Shlomo Zalman Zatzal brought down the Nishmas Avram, says that that's permissible mutter. Kivin she'ein zenirik refu, that doesn't look like real refu. Again, that's just stopping pain from getting worse. The Mishnah continues and he says, "V'hai delel sif lamed ayri del daito b'shalo nishmat legamri bimkomo." Atzei Shittim must explain that over there, that we're talking where we said you couldn't do it would be in a situation where it hasn't been totally dislocated. V'nira de gam l'dal samogen avram. The Mishnah then says it appears even to the mogen avram. Ima rofa yomer shenifrak b'chazka. If it's a very strong dislocation, v'yuchal over the sakona saver and. They were talking here about there is a danger to the limb, so then even the Mogen Avraham would agree, Shemut Lim Shochach Zero, you'd be allowed to go and manipulate it and return it, Limkomo, to its place, Kederach Shosubachol, just like you would on a regular Tuesday. Dear footnote number 127 says, Umishi Iru Lo Shever B'Shabbos, if somebody Rechman al-Islam breaks a bone on Shabbos, so Rav Oz HaZatzal and the Shevet HaLevi brings down, Shem Ein B'Shever Zeh Lo Sakonas Ever, V'af Lo Sakonas Zim. If there is absolutely no risk at all that this will be a limb-threatening or an infection will come in, Sa'af B'Shemut L'Achziru L'Mkom, even though you'd be allowed to go and return the break to its place, so to say, Mikom Mokom Ein L'Haskin Lo Geves, you shouldn't put the cast on it. Kim Shesh B'Zeh Issa D'Raisa, because in putting on the cast, that could involve Yisurim D'Raisa, and therefore, since there's no risk to the person, don't put the cast on Shabbos. The Avshar Yisurim Derabbanan Ein Lasos Elab Shinoi, and anything that you have to do over here that's a Derabbanan, you should do it with a Shinoi, as we brought down previously. V'imyeish B'Shever Zeh Sakona Sever. However, if this is a break that involves Sakona Sever, it could be limb-threatening over here, Dainu Shim Lo Yirapo, if you don't heal this on Shabbos, Olu L'Chol L'Abed Es Kol Eiver, you lose the use of the hand, then you're certainly allowed to do any Yisurim Derabbanan without any Shinoi, as we brought down previously. However, you still shouldn't make a cast on it over here and be over Yisurim Daraisa. However, in Yesh B'Shever Zech Sakonis Eber, Vayidei Kach Yechol L'Hayotzer Sakona L'Chol HaGuf, if this is now only Sakonis Eber, but it could lead to being a serious total body problem, then you would even be allowed to do melachos daraisa. In many of these situations, it's not clear if it will or not be a true life-threatening situation, and therefore, in many situations, you are allowed to take care of this because of safek pikuach nefashos. With that, we conclude today's shiur.